following is a 1250 WTMA special presentation.
Hello, this is John Quincy with another trip in the mighty TMA Way Back Machine. This is the history of TMA.
That's WTMA News and what's happening Saturday, September 26, 1970.
Now showing.
Gary London on TMA, and on the phone with me is Donnie Jones. How you doing today, Donnie?
Pretty good.
Are you ready, man?
Yes, sir.
Okay, now listen, all you need to know to win is WTMA. So for 1250, which one of those four letters you think will come up this time?
A.
A. Good luck to you, Donnie.
A.
Hey, man, the A came up and you won.
Oh, wow.
1250 WTMA. Got a letter in my life from my request line, Vinnie Paprino, 22-year-old John Travolta, 8-11, and the Dan Valley.
This is WTMA, WTMA-FM, Charleston, South Carolina, 1130.
WTMA, Tiger Radio, Mighty TMA.
WTMA Radio has been a big part of our town since 1939. That's right, we've been around as long as the movies The Wizard of Oz and Gone with the Wind. It's Charleston's second radio station, and unlike the oldest station, which is at 1390 on the dial, we still have our original set of call letters.
WTMA!
In this hour, we'll be talking to two more DJs who helped keep WTMA the mighty TMA in the 1970s. During most of the 70s, as it was in the 60s, WTMA had a top 40 format that continued to deliver number one ratings year after year.
Another full hour of music with Lee Richards.
WTMA. Charleston.
Good morning. 7 o'clock with clear skies and 71 degrees, and we have a traffic light out now at Maybank and Folly. Traffic light down at Maybank and Folly.
First up this hour, it's Lee Richards. He woke up Charlestonians in the middle of the decade with the latest hits by artists like Paul McCartney and Wings, Earth, Wind & Fire, and the Eagles. We spoke to Lee in the spring of 2008. Okay, on the line with us is Lee Richards, who was at WTMA back in the early to mid-70s. When exactly, Lee, were you here at this radio station?
Probably right during the mid part. I got there in December of 73 and left when Elvis Presley died, as a matter of fact. That was, what, August of 77?
All right. Now, what radio stations did you work for before you came to TMA?
I kind of bummed up and down the coast for a while. I was in Raleigh and Minneapolis. I worked for Kent Burkhardt in Minneapolis. And Wilmington, Delaware, of all places, is where I came to TMA from.
Is that where you're originally from?
I'm originally from Salt Lake City.
Okay. And you came to WTMA as not only a disc jockey, but also as the program director,
as
right?
As the program director, right.
And that was after a guy by the name of John Tritton decided not to be program director anymore. He had been PD for a long time. I think he had worked his way up to general manager, correct?
He had. There was someone else there before me, though, JJ. Can't remember his last name. But he was the program director when I got there. I took his place. I had answered an ad that wasn't in any of the mainstream magazines you'd think it would be in, but I just answered an ad and set the air check and the resume, and a couple of weeks later got a phone call from John, and I turned him down the first time he called.
And why is that?
I was pretty happy where I was at. Things were going fine, but within a week of turning him down, the whole upper management level at the station I was at changed, and we know what that's like.
Yep.
And I called John back, and I said, John, you still looking for somebody? He said, well, yeah. I said, well, how about me? I'm on the market. And he said, how soon can you be here? So we packed everything in the car and headed south to South Carolina.
And part of being the program director at WTMA was also doing the morning show, right?
Right, it was, huh?
Do you remember any of the discussions that you had with John Tritton on programming philosophy or anything like that? Or did he just say, it's already here, it's working, you know, don't mess it up?
That's basically what he said. He says, we've got a good thing going here, just, you know, here's the way we have it set up, and let me know what you're doing, and talk it over, and that was basically it. But John was the best manager I think I ever worked for in radio. Most of these guys come up through sales, and they have no concept of what programming is, or what you need to do to get it, or to keep it, or, you know, ratings or anything, but John knew all of that. it was very easy to go to John and say, we need to do this or we need to do that. And he'd just look at you and say, well, why? And if you could give him a good reason, it was all right, we're going to do it. And it was wonderful that way because we got to do a lot of things that probably in other markets never would have been done.
Now, sometimes working for a guy who was a former program director liked to meddle in your business. Did you find that the case with John Trenton as he was the general manager?
No, I did not. You know, when he needed to say something, he'd come say it, but he pretty much left the day-to-day operation us alone.
He didn't try to micromanage you or anything?
No, he did not. When he thought there was something that was wrong, he'd talk to you about it, and if you agreed, then you'd move ahead on what you were going to do about it. But if you didn't agree, then he'd sit and listen to your side of the story. And if you could justify yourself, if you could explain yourself in a way that, you know, he could buy into it, it stayed the way it was.
All right, WTMA was number one when you came here, and I guess it was number one through most of the 70s as well.
Yes, it was.
Every program director, when they come in, want to do something to kind of put their mark on the radio station. Do you remember anything that you did differently when you came to the station, any changes you made?
There weren't any changes I made when I got there. I was just happy to realize where I'd ended up and the situation I was in. But, oh, gosh, it was just before we had the book with the big numbers in it.
The ratings book.
About a year before that book, we kind of went a little soft in the ratings for a while there. John and Charles Smith decided that they wanted to bring in a consultant.
Charles Smith was the owner.
Yeah, he was the owner. And Charles had worked with somebody in Chicago in his old radio days that was now running a chain of stations across the country and doing quite well with them. They had stations in New York and Washington and Philly and San Francisco and L.A. and Chicago and San Diego, and they were quite successful in all these markets. So he called his friend in New York, and he sent his music director down, and we went through and kind of redefined the oldies library and what we would and wouldn't play as oldies, and then she got me started on market research, on really spending a couple of days going through Charleston and checking out what was going on there as far as record sales and stuff were concerned. And I'd do all this research and then every week get on a conference call with all the other program directors and we'd all feed our research in and then they'd come back and give us a playlist. And every radio station in the chain got the same playlist. And we came up a little in the first book. After that, the second book, it kind of was wishy-washy again. And I remember talking to John about it, and he said, well, I just don't know what to do. And I said, well, I've been doing this research every week extensively into the market, and I send it into them, and the playlist I get back is not what the research says we need to be playing. He said, oh, really? And I said, yeah. I says, why don't we cut the consultant free and let's just do our own research and program from it and see what happens? And he thought about that for a moment. He said, it makes sense. So they severed the relationship, and I started programming the records according to all of this research I was doing, and that's when we had the big book.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Play what people are buying in Charleston. Who cares what they're playing in the rest of the country?
Yeah, yeah, that's true, and I could never quite understand why they wanted to keep doing that, but as soon as we made that change, boy, the numbers were right there immediately, and that was the ballgame right there.
Who are some of the other guys that you worked with at WTMA that you remember being there for a significant amount of time between 73 and 77?
Oh, gosh, a whole bunch of them. The main bunch of guys, I guess, were Keith Nichols and John Burwell, Bob Nash, Gary London. They were the main guys.
Mm-hmm.
Kirk Varner, he was our weekend guy. And Bob James on nights. There were a few people in and out. But these were the main guys that were there.
I understand you had a good conversation with Gary London the other night.
Oh, yeah, he called. We talked for a couple of hours. That was interesting to, you know, get caught up with him and what everybody's been doing. And he was a great jock. He really was. I don't remember what the run-in was with Bob Nash that he left and went across the street.
What, the KTM or CSC?
KTM.
Okay.
John Trenton said, oh, we'll be okay. Don't worry about it, you know. and I was really a little bit upset with that. We put Gary London in afternoon drive to take Bob's place, and boy, Gary took that and ran. I mean, he had better numbers than Bob did.
What about some of the news people you worked with in the morning or throughout the day?
The predominant ones that stick out with me are Al Cammy and Steve Bell. And Al did the mornings and Steve did the afternoons. And that was interesting to me, too, for a back in the 70s, for a top 40 radio station to run a newscast basically was almost unheard of. And we had 10 minutes in morning and afternoon drive that we ran news in. But these guys knew the market, and they gathered the news and put it together very concisely and did a very good job. One story with Al Cammy, and it was really my fault, not his. We did the news in the afternoons and mornings at 25 minutes after to 35 minutes after. And we would set the cart machines up in the newsroom with the commercials in them. So Al in the newsroom that was down the hall had a remote start for them. And so I'd put the commercials in. And at some point during the morning, during one of those newscasts, I'd usually run out the door real quick and jump in the car and run down to McDonald's at the end of Orange Grove Road there and grab Al and I something to eat and run back. And we'd just gone putting all of our music on cart, and the engineer, Charlie McCann, had put a sequencer in. We had a little toggle switch on it. I mean, if you had the sequencer on, you could play two commercials and the jingle and start the first record without pushing any buttons. And this one morning, I put the three commercials in that were to run at different times throughout the 10-minute newscast. And after the last commercial, I had the jingle and the other record in so Al could start that. And I'd had an extra 3 or 4 minutes for the McDonald's run. And I bolted out the door, and I got back, and Al was standing there waiting for me, just madder than a wet hen. And says, "You forgot to turn the sequencer off."
Oh, no.
He said, "I went to the first commercial break, and we played all three commercials and the jingle and the record."
Oh, man. Messed up his newscast, huh?
And he said, "I didn't get to do my newscast. Besides that, you had 2 minutes of dead air back there."
Oh, man.
But, yeah, those guys, they were great. We had the television stations calling us for leads on news stories. That's how good Al and Steve were. They did with the news like the rest of the station did with the music.
Let's talk about the Lee Richards Morning Show. You were on the air doing the mornings for WTMA for several years. Do you remember much about the show? Any special features? Any bits you did on a regular basis? Things that people would listen to and say, "Oh, yeah, that's Lee Richards. That's what I remember about him."
No, oddly enough, I didn't. I mean, before I came there, I had all kinds of little characters on tapes and stuff that I'd run. It sounded like the studio was full of people, but John just didn't want any of that. He just wanted me to be there. So we just basically stuck to the basics. I did script in and do bits. I subscribed to 3 or 4 different joke services, and I would take material from them and adapt them to what was going on there or to the songs or something and use one-liners throughout, but that was basically it. It was just sticking to the basics, which they really don't do in radio anymore. And I think that's what added and made it the success, was the consistency of that radio station. John used to say over and over again that people listened to the station because they liked it, and they came back because of what they had heard before, and if they didn't have that same experience when they came back, they wouldn't keep coming back like they did. So really, the effort was put into making the station sound the same at 6 in the morning as it did at 6 in the afternoon. And to do that 24/7.
1250 TMA. I like that. Time in a bottle. I have no respect for age unless it's bottled anyway. 7:03, 3 minutes after 7. Good morning. It's clear and 71 degrees.
Sears, where America shops.
This is Al Cammy. This morning in the news, 5 children received the county's protective custody. McLennan Banks Hospital takes another nosedive. And Rosalind Carter sweeps through South Carolina. I'll have more on these and other stories at 7:25.
WTMA.
Lee Richards reminding you, the League of Women Voters of Charleston County invite everybody 18 or over to find out more about what's going on by calling 723-8993. Good morning. It's 7:04, 4 minutes after 7 o'clock. 1250 WTMA. Peter Frampton on your Friday morning at Oh Baby, I Love Your Way. It's 8 minutes after 7:08 now, and a good morning to you. Nice to have you here at TMA. It's fair now and 71 degrees, and coming up this hour, the Touchtone Telephone and a chance for you to win some money. And at 7:55, coming up later this hour, I'm going to give you a chance to win 10 top albums just for listening to TMA.
This Sunday from 12 till 8, it's part one of The Sound of Motown. The Sound of Motown is brought to you in part by The Sunloft, King's Fashion, The Jeans Place, and Simmons Appliance Center. Where else? The Sound of Motown, only from your friends at TMA.
WTMA. Good morning, Tavares, and heaven's gotta be missing an angel, because you're right here with me. 7:12, 12 minutes after 7 o'clock now. Fair skies and 71 degrees. I'll have all of the updated weather for you right after England Dan and John Ford Coley.
There's more of our dialogue with former WTMA program director and DJ Lee Richards coming up on the History of TMA.
The History of TMA.
WTMA.
You're listening to the History of TMA.
I'll be there, the Jackson 5 on the Booby Nash Saturday Showground. WTMA's number one fun time. Coming up at 11:28, I just got the word to be heard from WTMA sanitation engineer that along with the garbage, this program's being emptied at 12 noon. We do want to take time out to mention that we had quite a few winners last week on many of our contests. We had a couple of winners on the Scramble Music Game, played on the Tent Bell and Bob Riley Show from 9 until 3. Many prizes were given away on our Money in the Bank with John Trenton in the morning and yours truly, Uncle Boob, every afternoon. We gave away a lot of cash prizes. Now, why do I mention this? So that you could win? No, to inform you that it'll be a low-budget week next week because I think we've gone broke. Seriously, friends, I think we're in trouble.
The friendly Southern Giant, WTMA, in Charleston. Quincy.
Thank you for checking out our special retrospective on the history of WTMA Radio, the station that generations of Charlestonians have made a part of their life since 1939. Were you here in the mid-70s? Then you probably remember getting your day started with a voice of Lee Richards coming out of your clock and car radios.
Just a few minutes this morning, I'll have a chance for you to win some hard, cold cash. When you hear the touch-tone telephone, you'll be listening. Right after Elton John, I'll have all of the baseball scores. 7:16 now, 16 minutes after 7 o'clock.
We had a contest once where we took an old car and repainted it and had little WTMAs painted all over it. And we gave it away on the radio, and we'd drive it around and park it at different places at certain times and let the guys ride around and drive it. And we had several different people come in and paint the TMAs on it and kept that pretty much supervised so each painter didn't know what the other one had done. And we kept a total of it and stuff. And I remember we started the contest, and we'd give it away to the person that could come the closest to guessing how many WTMAs there were on the car.
Oh, cool.
The first day we started the contest, this whole stack of postcards came into the station. Gosh, postcards back then were what, a nickel or something?
Mm-hmm.
But this guy had gone and bought a whole stack of these things and started at about 500 and guessed in increments of 5 all the way up through. And I remember John Trenton came back and we were looking at those, and that was the contest right there. This guy had it the first day, but John just looked at me and he says, "Well, we're not going to announce the winner now, you know. Just don't tell anybody. We'll just keep this thing going, and we'll give it away in a month like we said we were going to." So,
we used to call those contest pigs, but you probably had another name for them.
We had a lot of great promotions that we ran and a lot of great contests that raised some eyebrows in some instances, but were fun to do and fun for the people to listen to and participate in. We always tried to stay ahead of the competition, really, even in contests. When we'd read in the trade magazines about a good contest in another market, we always tried to be the first one on it. But back in the mid-70s, ACBQ at the time ran a contest called the Dirty Picture Contest.
Mm-hmm.
The idea was it was the ecology. Go out and take a picture of the dirtiest part of town and send it in. You know, we'll pick a winner and we'll go out and redo that and make something good out of it. And CSC jumped on it before we had a chance to. And I was talking with John one day and mentioned that, and he says, "Well, let's run our own dirty picture contest." And I said, "What do you mean?" And he says, "Well, let's go on the air and ask people to send us a picture of the bottom half of the thing that turns them on the most." And I says, "You're kidding me." He says, "No, do it." So we ran this contest opposite CSC. Send us a picture of the bottom half of the thing that turns you on the most. I think John Trenton must still have the scrapbook somewhere. I'm not sure.
So you got a lot of reaction, huh?
Oh, boy, we did. And a lot of talk to that. And actually, the winner was not a picture.
What was it?
Somebody had carved a soap on the rope.
Oh, okay.
And sent it in. And I think they attached a note to it that says, "The only one that the more you rub it, the smaller it gets." John just had a wonderful time with that contest.
Probably didn't put those pictures on the WTMA surveys, huh?
No. We announced the winner, and we said, if you want to see who the winners are, you want to see what they are, drop by our studios any weekday between 8 and 5. We had a few people come in, but not that many. One thing we did do that worked quite well for us, got us in trouble with Arbitron, but since we had a way to get out of that, we started this little promo that we ran once an hour, 24/7, and I think it was the 07 stop set. We'd come out of that, and Keith Nichols, marvelous voice, he did all of those promos for us. And all it said was, if anyone at any time in any way asks you what radio station you listen to, tell them WTMA. And we started it way before the Arbitron, and we ran it through the Arbitron rating. And, of course, all the other stations reported us to Arbitron for unfair programming and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And all we had to do was go back to Arbitron and say, no, that's not true. This is part of our normal programming. We've been doing this for the last 6 months. You know, that was something we were taking a chance with because we didn't really know what Arbitron was going to decide, but they accepted that explanation. And John was pretty sly. He had a few tricks up his sleeve, and I don't want to give away any programming things here, but it was a nice station to work for. I mean, everything came together at the right time, at the right place, and it was just a wonderful experience.
What are you proudest of during your time at WTMA?
I think the programming, learning the system of how the music was rotated, and specifically what records to play and not to play. I think that was the defining moment for me, and the one that really, that one rating, everything, like I said, just kind of came together. It was not so much the records that you play, it's how you play them. You have to know when to get on them and when to get off of them and how heavy to rotate them and when to back off from that. And that, to me, was the defining moment, was being able to learn that system and then implement it and sit back and watch it work, you know, week after week after week.
Anything that you look back at your time at TMA as being, I did all these great things, but I really wish that this could have happened. I wish that I could have put more effort into this, or I wish the situation had become different.
The only regret I have is leaving. It was a great experience. Every minute of every day I was there. But I could have stuck around a little bit longer, I guess.
So why'd you leave?
I don't know. I was just kind of getting restless, I guess. I looked at my situation there. It was a great situation, but there really wasn't anywhere else in the organization that, you know, you could go to. John wasn't going to go anywhere, and, you know, there was no place else to go. And I ran across this great job, and Burwell says, oh, he was selling pots and pans. Yeah, it was, but the way it was marketed and stuff was ingenious. So I left chasing the almighty dollar and had a lot of fun doing that for a while. But
this was for a non-radio job, right?
Not a radio job. Yeah. When I left, I got some incredible offers. Kent Burkhart called and offered me a gig, and Capitol Records called and wanted me to be the promotion man working out of Atlanta. And I turned both of those down and put my nose to the ground and went for this other thing full force, and it worked for a while, and when that stopped working, I got back into radio again.
All right, where did you work in radio after you left TMA, after this other thing petered out?
Well, by the time that fell through, I was back in Salt Lake City, so I started back there. Started working at a small little station out in the suburbs that never had a rating it could call its own, and I took the system for TMA and plugged it in, but the market was changing then, and this was an adult contemporary station. So I didn't do the market research like I should have. I used Bill Gavin's chart every week that came out in his little magazine and rotated the records from that. And I was there for a couple of years, and they were starting to come up and get numbers and ratings and stuff. But part of my gig in the morning drive there was to rip and read five-minute newscast. And the news director of the News Talk radio station in Salt Lake heard me one morning and called me and asked me if I'd come over and read the news for him. So I left music and got into news radio and worked in Salt Lake on that for a while, and then came here to San Antonio, Texas, and worked in that another 15 years.
Wow.
Back in the early 90s, along with radio, my wife and I started a photography studio doing wedding photography.
So I guess you eventually got out of radio and got into something else, huh?
Well, I got out of the radio and we did the photography for a while. We just closed that down here a couple of years ago. So I'm basically retired now and hanging out, having a good time.
So what made WTMA the success that it was? Why was it a great radio station to work for, and why was it a good radio station for Charleston at that time?
Well, it was great to work for because of the people who were there and the talents that they had, and the people running the radio station knew what to do and how to run it to be successful, and they did not compromise those standards. As far as people of Charleston. They got to hear a great radio station, and the kids grew up listening to that. It was like a major market station in Charleston, and the entertainment that they had and the fun and the excitement. We always had a contest or a promotion going constantly, all the time. We'd beef them up for the ratings, but we kept them going all the time. So, again, we couldn't be accused of trying to manipulate the ratings, but the entertainment value of it, I think, gave Charleston a lot.
I'll take the seventh caller at 556-5851 to win $1,250. All you need to know to be a winner is WTMA. 14 minutes till 9 o'clock. It's 8:46. 1250 WTMA, the sister with a dye job. That's America at 8:50, 10 minutes till 9 o'clock. On the telephone with me, I have Jeff Stinchcomb of Goose Creek. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning.
All you need to know to win now is WTMA, Jeff. So for 1250, which letter do you think it's going to be this time?
W.
W. Good luck. The M came up, not the W. Can't give you the money, but you try us again, okay?
Okay.
Bye-bye now. Bye. We're going to play again in just a very few minutes from now. You'll be listening for your chance. All you need to know to be a winner is WTMA. The mighty TMA.
WTMA.
TMA presents The Sound of Motown, Part 1, beginning this Sunday at 12 noon. You'll hear Motor City Rock from all your favorites. Don't miss Part 1 of the Motown story this Sunday from 12 to 8 p.m. on TMA.
Straight ahead, we'll connect with a guy who was a mild-mannered North Charleston high school student during the week, but became a real-live DJ on the area's number one radio station. Woo! Kirk Varner is coming up on the history of TMA.
The best music, WTMA.
For more about WTMA's past, surf to WTMAmemories.com for recordings, interviews, pictures, and more. That's WTMAmemories.com.
WTMA, mighty TMA. It's one solid gold.
Now here's more of the history of TMA with John Quincy.
Quick, think about the radio station you listened to the most when you were in high school. How cool would it have been if you had become a DJ on that very same radio station while you were in high school? That's the story of North Charleston native Kirk Varner.
The mighty TMA, 918 at Chicago, and call on me, Kirk Varner, Saturday in the city, light rain, cloudy sky, 61 degrees, with Bachman Turner Overdrive.
All right, we're on the line with Kirk Varner, who was a WTMA back in the early 70s. When exactly were you at the nifty 1250, Mr. V?
I actually came to work at the mighty TMA, because we were instructed always to put the word mighty in front of the call letters. In 1973, I was hired while I was still a student at North Charleston High School, the original version, and John Trenton was the station manager at the time, and they were looking for somebody to come in on weekends and play tapes of paid religion half hours, and then on Sunday morning from 9 to noon, we ran Casey Kasem's original American Top 40, which, to show you how old I am, was actually shipped in on big vinyl disc every week. And lo and behold, after a period of time, they would let me play a few records in those half hours on Sunday morning that weren't paid for in time. So instead of religion, they got the Kirk Varner Show for 29 minutes in between various religious messages. And then John Scott, J.J. Scott, who was the program director of the station when I first got there, eventually thought it would be acceptable to let me have my own show. So I started working Saturday and Sunday nights from 6 till midnight. And as you have dubbed me, I truly was a teenage disc jockey sensation.
All right, so you were in high school the entire time.
I was until the first half of it, and then I got out of high school and continued to work at TMA all the way into 75 when I got some real employment and started working in television.
All right, did you have a desire to be in radio, or was it just the equivalent of like a McDonald's job to you?
You know what? I was hooked on radio. I grew up in North Charleston, and at the time, what was then 910 on your radio dial was WNCG, which we were told the call letters were picked for Watch North Charleston Grow. And that radio station was literally located over on O'Hare Avenue, I should say, just a short distance from where my grandparents lived. And I got invited to the radio station by a gentleman whose name I have long since forgotten, and I walked into the place, and I thought I'd walked into Nirvana. From that moment on, I wanted to be on the radio more than just about anything I could think of, and through hook or crook and hanging around enough and making enough of a pest of myself, they taught me sort of the basics at NCG and also WKTM, which was the FM station at the time. And we're going back to when KTM was actually Beautiful Music, when there were three FM Beautiful Music stations in Charleston playing dentist office music. And between that and I have to give a nod to Junior Achievement of Charleston, who had a company inside their program that was sponsored by WNCG and WKTM Radio. And that was sort of where my radio bug bit me hard, and I wanted to be on the radio from that point forward. And that would have been the ripe old age of 13. So from that point going forward, I wanted to be associated with radio, and then that led me to television.
Were you a big fan of WTMA before you came to work there?
You know, John, I can't tell you this because people probably who weren't around at the time won't believe it, but there wasn't any other radio station that anybody under the age of 40 wanted to listen to. You know, TMA, to say that the mighty TMA was a dominant radio station is just an understatement of huge proportions. It was the radio station that everybody had on the radio, you know, from transistor radios at the beach to the car radios. Anybody who wanted to listen to the music of the day in the 60s, you know, the Beatles, Tom Jones, even the early Rolling Stones, all of those things were being played on WTMA. And it wasn't just the music, which was, of course, the popular music at the time. It was also the people who were on the radio station. I mean, I grew up, you know, listening to John Trenton and Bobby Nash. And then, you know, later on, you know, people like Keith Nichols and Gary London and John Burwell. And those guys, some of whom came while I was there, but most of whom were there before I got there, they were celebrities in their own right. And they were the people who you tuned in to listen to, because not only did they play the records that were hot at the time, they were funny. They told jokes that were sometimes corny, sometimes a little risque. But they were always the people who, you know, you just had sort of as the soundtrack of your life at that point. And as a kid growing up in Charleston, you know, there was no other radio station that even was on the radio dial as far as we were concerned.
Why do you think that was?
You know, I think it was the combination of the fact that it was a really well-done radio station. You know, John Trenton as the program director and then later as the general manager just insisted that WTMA sounded like a big-time radio station. I mean, it, you know, going into radio as an adult, you know, I found out about the legendary stations like WABC in New York and WCFL and WLS in Chicago and even closer in stations like WQXI in Atlanta or WAPE in Jacksonville. All of those radio stations just had a big-time sound about them. The radio station was fun. It was energetic. You know, it played the hits nonstop. There was always something going on there. And TMA was the same thing. It really had this sense that there was always action going on there. And if you flipped on the radio dial, you knew you were going to hear the records of the day and the hits that people were, you know, listening to as music in that time. But there also were these amazing announcers who made it all happen and put it all together, and you would hear them, you know, talking about doing fun things or making fun of each other or where their next public appearance was going to be. And really from, you know, the mid-60s on, they were the radio station that really just was the young, energetic, hip radio station, and that was the calling of the era. You know, the 60s were about, you know, the young, fun, up-and-coming, energetic, you know, time, and that was the radio station that people identified with.
The Mighty TMA, that's Barry White, and I can't get enough of your love, baby. It's 9/11.
The Mighty TMA invites you to take a trip with the Beatles. This Saturday night, WTMA presents for the first time in Charleston
The Magical Mystery Tour.
The Beatles made a film in 1967, and it was never shown in the United States until now. The Beatles Magical Mystery Tour is not a cartoon. The Beatles in person perform Blue Jay Way, Fool on the Hill, Your Mother Should Know, Magical Mystery Tour, and I Am the Walrus. Same show, The Beatles at Shea Stadium. Recorded live on their first American tour. 90 minutes. Nights of Beatlemania this Saturday night at 11:15 at the Terrace Theater. Because the Mighty TMA remembers the Beatles.
The Mighty TMA remembers the Beatles. So do I. I wasn't that old then. I was still wearing diapers, man. Yeah, come on. It's 9-11 with Kirk Varner in diapers. This is Billy Swan, and I can help.
More WTMA memories from teenage radio sensation Kirk Varner are straight ahead.
WTMA.
John Quincy returns with more of the history of TMA next.
Another full hour of music. WTMA, Charleston.
The most music. WTMA, Lighthouse and Golden. One fine morning at the Saturday Night Show with Kirk Varner. Hello out there in Charleston. 803 with the DeFranco family and
a history of TMA.
Thank you so much for listening to our look back at the rich heritage of Charleston's second oldest radio station, WTMA. Let's get back to our May 2008 conversation with mid-70s teen disc jockey, Kirk Varner. All right, what about promotions? Any good radio station does a lot of giveaways and things to try to increase listenership. I'm sure WTMA was no exception. Do you remember anything noteworthy that TMA did that kind of stood out from the usual caller five, name it and claim it type stuff?
You know, there was a lot of the name it and claim it kind of thing. We were constantly giving away records and major cash prizes, which I think ranged from $5 to $50. TMA didn't give away a lot of money per se, but they gave away everything else, it felt like. We did give away a car. And I think there was some concern that the car might have been given away without an engine, but as it turned out, it did actually have an engine. The contest that probably sticks out in my mind the most from when I was there was something that they had worked with some out-of-town folks on, something called the Fame Game.
Harry, do you think I'm beautiful?
No.
Do you think I could be famous?
Yeah, at the end of your name in the Fame Game.
Oh, you mean maybe they'll sing it on the radio?
Right.
And Raquel Schwartz will be a regular household word. Like
sump pump.
Yes, sump pump.
Or ammonia.
Ammonia.
Spatula. Here it is. Play it to win. It's the Fame Game.
To enter the Mighty TMA Fame Game, send a postcard to WTMA, Post Office Box 10208, Charleston.
The Fame Game was interesting because you sent in a postcard with your name and address, and then we would pick a number of them each week, and they would be shipped off, I think, to someplace in California, and singers would sing your name. And if you heard your name sung on the radio, you had a certain amount of time to call in and claim your prize. But that was interesting because a number of people who I knew would call me up and say, can't you get my name on the Fame Game? And of course, the answer was no. It had to be done, you know, very fair for everyone. But the problem was is that the folks in California would occasionally sing names that looked like on paper what they should sound like. But of course, in the low country, there are some names that don't quite sound the way they look. And that led to some hilarious moments where we would have names sung on the air that people would call up and go, well, that's just not my name, but I think it might be my name. And we'd have to deal with some of those things. But there were a few of those things. I want to say that I believe at one point they locked Uncle Boob up in a travel trailer and put him up on top of a billboard. And he lasted up there for maybe a couple of weeks. I think the first thing that they had to do when they got him down was louse him, because it was a little tough being in a trailer in the Carolina humidity for 2 weeks' time. But there was always a contest going on where we're about giving away something, and most of the time it was giving away the music or the big money jackpot, which the biggest one I can remember ever giving away on the air was, I think, for $72.46.
Boy, that's some serious money there.
Well, we were concerned because giving away $72.46 in many cases would have exceeded my weekly check. So I was concerned that there might not be enough money in the bank left over, but there fortunately always was. And the checks did never bounce, at least while I was working there.
All right. Why did you leave WTMA?
I left actually to get a full-time job in television. A company had started in North Charleston, which was the predecessor of Comcast now, and they began building the cable TV system, and they were looking for full-time people to work behind the scenes producing and programming the local TV channels there. And I stayed with TMA for a while doing both jobs, but it was sort of not to be for a long-term proposition, and I had to make a decision, and probably it's the one decision of my professional career that if I had to go back and do all over again, I might not do, because I think working at WTMA, at least in the early 70s, when it was still such a flame-throwing powerhouse of a radio station, was just more fun than I can possibly describe to you. It was a job, and it was work, and you had to be serious about that, but it was also a lot of fun, and everybody who worked there, at least in my viewpoint, made the experience just one of the best of my life. And you know, TMA really is a treasure, and that era from the 60s until, you know, the late 70s, when it sort of began its decline and the onset of FM radio. And TMA fought them all off. TMA fought off a charge from WCSC, which tried to take it on at one point, fought off a charge from WKTM, which was really the first station to play, you know, contemporary music on the FM dial at that point. And even a late charge at one point from WQSN, which called itself 15Q, you know, they all kind of came and they all put up their best efforts, but TMA was just too strong for too long in that period of time, and it was the place in terms of being on the radio dial.
WTMA, good morning to you. It's 5:05. I'm Kirk Varner, and 45 degrees and cloudy with Golden Spencer Davis. And give me some lovin'. Oh, yes, Gladys Knight and the Pips using their imagination with Varner in the Morning at TMA.
I always see pink and orange elephants and crazy zebras, but I've never seen a big rubber ball the day after. WTMA's number one fun time, 11:22, Uncle Boob and Company on a Saturday morning.
12:50 WTMA, looking forward to a little afternoon delight. Starland Vocal Band, 11:13. A few minutes from right now, another chance for you to win some hard cold cash from TMA. Also, a chance for you to win a t-shirt and some tickets. Just keep it on TMA with more winners more often.
WTMA. You know, when you talk about the history of WTMA, you have to talk about the fact that it was this good, solid, professional organization. It was never anything other than a radio station that people outside of Charleston talked about as if it were, because it really was, one of the best radio stations in the Southeast. It didn't really dawn on me until after I'd moved away how WTMA was talked about in the ranks of being, you know, one of the radio stations in the late 60s and early 70s that ranked among the best of the best. And it was that way because the people who worked there were really dedicated to the craft. They were really into radio. They really loved it. And WTMA was number one for so long because the people who made it sound that way were great people, and the people in Charleston recognized that, and they knew this was their radio station, and if there was something happening in Charleston, be it a serious thing that was on the news or a fun thing that was on the radio, the first place you were going to hear about it. The internet wasn't around, iPods weren't around, TV wasn't even quite what it is today, but the radio still drove people's lives, and the number one radio station in Charleston for pretty much everybody was the mighty TMA. And it was called that because it was a pretty mighty influence there at the time. And it was just an amazing thing to be part of. Radio was just such a dynamic medium that so powered the lives of younger people in particular that you got up and the first thing you did was flip the radio on. And when you got your driver's license, really the thing it meant is that you were able to drive around town, you know, with the radio on, you know, and listen to the radio or go to the beach with the radio. And it was just such an important part of everybody's life at the time that it's hard to understand now because we have so many different options, you know, on how to get our music and entertainment. But at the time, it was the thing, and it was fun to be a part of, no doubt.
Our thanks to Lee Richards and Kirk Varner for their memories of the mighty TMA in the 70s. I'm John Quincy, and if you'd like to find out more about WTMA's history, check out this special website, WTMAMemories.com. There you'll find classic sounds, pictures, stories, and more. That's WTMAMemories.com. And keep it here on the Charleston radio station that continues to make history, as well as report it. 1250 WTMA.